Lord is good, isn't he? Far better than anything I deserve, I tell you this. And you know, his enemy, the devil, is always and consistently fighting and trying to stop us from living a life effective for the Lord. He doesn't want to see you in church. He doesn't want to see you telling others about the gospel. He doesn't want to see you in your Bible. He doesn't want to see you in your prayer time. He doesn't want to see you do anything that's going to guide you or move you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the enemy of God. For those of us who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, he is your enemy as well. Now, if you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't believe in these things, well, he's your friend, because you're going to go the same place that he's going. But if your full faith and trust is only in the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made on the cross, he's your enemy. And he's mad. And he wants to take every bit of power and ability that he has to break you down and to stop you from being effective. But oh, what a good God. What a mighty God we serve. A God he can't overcome. He can't overtake him. He can't command our God around. He can't dictate to our God who and what we are. The devil really has no power over God. The ultimate end for the devil is written in these beautiful pages that are given to us. Turn with me over to Revelation 20, verse 7. I'm going to say the same thing. I tried not to. I said, I'm not going to say it, but I'm going to say it. I'm endeavoring to be here just a few minutes this evening, I promise. I was thinking about that today. How many preachers have told you that? It lied, huh? I really mean it. Revelation chapter 20, Revelation, the single, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, chapter 20, verse 7, it says, and when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the numbers of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and the fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. The fire came down from heaven. When they came up against God, the fire came down from heaven. I didn't even walk out the door. I don't need to go out there and fight. I don't have to do anything because God has already done the fighting for me. If you don't have an amen in your heart off of that, I would check your amener. Nothing can come against God. Verse 10, and where I would like to draw just a little bit of attention. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, the wannabe Holy Spirit, are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I don't really underline much stuff in my Bible, to be honest with you. I don't know if it's the right mentality, but I spent a lot of money. I don't want to start marking them up. And I got like really bad handwriting, so marking, writing, all those things are no good. But you probably can't see it, but I'm going to hold it up anyway. I had to mark out today forever and ever, because he will never overcome my God. He will never overcome my God. And I would encourage you also to underline that and to remember that. When you're having that bad day, when things are falling apart, nothing will go the way you want it to go. You know the devil is steadily fighting against you and doing everything he can to stop you from being effective for him. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. You don't even have to go through the whole verse. The last four words, forever and ever. How long does it say forever and ever? Don't lose that. If you walk out of here, don't listen to anything else that I say. Just don't lose that. Forever and ever, he will be in torment. He will not win. He cannot win, because our God is greater. he loses. Being mad as he is always looking for a way to discourage and to stop you from being effective for the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to tell your neighbors about Christ. He doesn't want you to be kind to your neighbors. He doesn't want you to show the love of Christ in your neighborhood. He doesn't want you to be kind to the person just in next to you in Walmart, even having the opportunity to maybe slip them a track or just say that, you know, Jesus really loves you. He wants to shut your mouth. He wants you more focused on everything that you messed up in your life. So many things. I sit in my office and I go to type and start reading and sifting through and start studying. First, man, you know, remember that? That was pretty bad. Remember those choices that you made? You know those were awful. I don't even know why you're sitting here. I don't even know why God would even look at you. His continued outcry, his continued desire to break me and to batter me down. And look, I know I'm fantastic. I know I look absolutely wonderful, but you guys are no different than me. I know he's trying to do the same thing to you. I know I'm not the only one because I'm not special. I'm another sinner just like y'all, and I'm saved by grace just like you are. I have nothing else. Nothing else but the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, you don't have to turn there. Paul stands proudly to say that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein," in verse 17, "for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." And then he slides this tent post, the center column, the pillar of our life. "As it is written, the just shall live by faith." You want to be just, you want to be right, you want to live the faithful life. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to do that. The great works that he did, the great work that he did on the cross of Calvary, is to have our full faith. We need to have full faith in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Bible has said. Because if you don't come back, Satan's not condemned for all eternity. There will be an ultimate triumph. There will be an ultimate victory had by our Lord, because he is God. And praise God for the fact that it's written down in his word. I don't have to like guess and say, okay, well, someone told me once, but I can never return to it. Revelation 20:10 will show you that that is the truth. My text verse this evening, in my very short sermon, I promise I'll kick it up. John 10:10, a verse that's very familiar to us, but it's a verse about calling that man, that devil, the liar that he is. That's the verse about calling him the liar he is. John chapter 10, verse 10, we find these words: "The thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come," and this is Jesus, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The devil don't win. Doesn't matter how hard he tries, you don't win. God help me. God, you know about my afternoon. You know about everything that happened. And you know the hurt in my heart. God, I need you. Lord, use me that your people might receive something from you this evening. Father, we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Notice first with me that the devil is a thief. He wants to steal your joy. There's nothing better than stealing your joy. If I steal your joy, there is no way that you're going to be thinking about trying to tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. A broken and joyful person is not a proclaiming person. If I'm excited about something, I got all kinds of words to say about it. Matter of fact, I have to kind of taper it back because everybody's not ready for all the excitement, as I found out multiple times. When those fiery darts start coming, and we've stepped outside of the shield of faith, we've stepped away from it, the weights of the world start to bear down on us and press down on us more and more, and the devil's just there whispering in your ear, you know, it's going to get a little bit worse. The Lord Jesus Christ is still there. He is still your joy. He is still your strength. If you get joy or strength from anywhere else, it's not joy or strength. It will pass away. It will be broken. It will be beaten down. When the weight of the world and all the things that are going on around you bear down on it, it will snap like a toothpick and be as useless as it was when you had it initially. Your strength is Jesus Christ. Your joy is the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan spends all of his time seeking for ways to discourage you from doing what is right. To seeking to discourage you from living what is right. Rest your joy in the Lord. Rest the joy in the power of his might. Rest your joy in the things that he's done in your life. Count your blessings, as that song has been played before. That's something that's been really bearing on me lately. Or not bearing, but encouraging me. Excuse me, I've been having such a down one. I try to get it a little bit up. You know, those hymns, those words that are in those hymns, they're wonderful for encouraging you in those times when everything's bad. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. He does because he loves you. And he provides those opportunities for you to see that he loves you so that you can have surety in those times when the devil is bearing down. And he will bear down on you. Are you keeping a prayer journal? Are you writing down those opportunities in those times when the Lord has blessed you exceedingly? Can you recall something that happened this week that the Lord showed you his love for you? Because if you can't, today is the good day to change. It's a good day to start writing down what God has done for you, because in those times, those hard times, you got to remember. Why do you think the Lord gave us this wonderful love letter? Why do you think he gave you this? He wrote it down so you can go back to it. This morning in the teen class, I had the kids open up, and we normally have them open up. It's not out of the normal, but we made sure that they opened up and looked at every word for the verses that we read today because of the subject of the lesson. But we can all do that. I can look at the Bible and I can read out Romans 10:13, and Pastor James will open up his Bible and he will see the same thing, because God has given it to me just as much as he's given it to him. Matter of fact, let me put a little bit of pressure on you guys. Do you understand the responsibility that God has placed on you just in giving you the Bible? How much we take it as an ornament. I talked to the kids about that this morning. It's just we get the big family Bible, put it on the table, and everybody knows that we're Christian. We're good. Not fooling anybody. Well, you might fool people, but you're not fooling God, and that's the only one that matters. This word was given to you that you can be encouraged in those hard times, that you can be sure that the devil is going to lose Revelation 2010. Spend time in the Word. Write down those things that the Lord has told you. Count your blessings, because in those hard times, you need those things to remind you of the great God that you serve. He comes to steal your joy, but he also comes to steal your fire. He wants you to have no excitement about God. He doesn't want you to be happy about the great things that the Lord has done for you. I was just thinking the other day, God has been so good to us in this house. There has been so little problems that the Lord has helped befall us. No, I'm not saying that, trying to prod or ask for the devil, because I really don't need him. But he has really been so good to us in that. And I see people with severe air conditioner problems, structural problems. My buddy at work actually pray for him, Dale Pierre. He's got foundation issues and an AC that just won't get fixed. But the Lord has been so good to us in that. And I can rejoice in how good he's been. And I can tell people how good he's been to me, because he has been so good to me. The Lord has sent his son to die on the cross for my sins. Now look, once again, if that's not an amener, your amener is broken, because without that you would have no salvation. He set my soul free from sin. He made a place for me in heaven. Now look, I don't even deserve the dwelling that I have, let alone a place in heaven. He gave me full assurance of my salvation. Amen. Now look, I don't deserve the salvation in the first place. I can give you a list of stories that I'll never tell you that would be enough. Even more than that, I can show you in the Word of God why I'm sure of the salvation that I have. Why the one time of sacrifice by the Lord Jesus Christ is the full propitiation of my sin. Why he doesn't need to go back on the cross, because once is enough. God help us. God help us. He has given me truth. He's given me truth. All the devil does is spend time lying. God will never forgive you. God will never use you. God can't use you. Man, if there's not a lie, I think that's probably the biggest lie. Because there's no person in this world that God can't use to do great and mighty things. Spoke to this young man last night. I'm still contemplating the conversation because it's pretty interesting. He used to come here for many years, and there was a lot of sorrowfulness in his voice because he didn't listen to the things that we told him. And even a desire in his heart to want to return back to what he had left in the first place. He fell into lies. He stopped believing truth. He's paying for that today. But you know what I kept telling him? There's nothing stopping you from being great and being successful but you. And you know why I can tell him that with full confidence? Because of the Lord. He can take the smallest thing and make amazing things from it. I was reading this afternoon this great man of God commentary on a section of scripture, and one of the things he talked about was a pearl. To make a pearl, an oyster has to have a piece of sand get inside and irritate it. And as it gets more and more irritated, it creates more layers of mother of pearl around it. Now that's not, you know, that's about normal. Did you know that doing that pearling actually kills the oyster? He takes something small and makes something so beautiful out of it. Now, I mean, you know, probably 95% of us would say that they're absolutely beautiful. Maybe 100%. You guys look like a smart crowd. That beautiful thing is made from something much smaller than that. And if God could take a piece of sand in an oyster and make something beautiful out of it that the whole world can look at, what more can he do through you and I? There should be an excitement in your heart for what God has done for you. There should be. Even with the worst of things, even with everything bearing down, having a rough day, I am still thankful for what God has done for me. I will still tell everybody, and I'll tell all of you guys want to listen, I will tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul. If not for him and the sacrifice that he gave on the cross of Calvary and his resurrection proving that he is God, I would be in hell. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do not allow the devil to get your consent to take away that fire. He's going to come up and he's going to want to take away the fire. He's going to want to throw water on it. He's going to want to do everything that you would do to a fire to stop it from burning. But you still have to consent. You still have to say, all right, well, we're just going to let that go and I'm going to be sorrowful. Woe is me. Take the fire away. Do not allow that influence to come and dwell in your heart. You know, the thing that comes and takes your fire away is the fact that the devil says, well, you can't do, and you did this and that. And you say, yeah, you're right, devil, I did. And you're right, because of that, I just can't. Oh, man, I just can't. All things through Christ who strengtheneth me. All things that the Lord has called me to do. All things that the Lord has set me to do, well, I can absolutely do it through him. So no, I can't is not right. Yes, you can. For 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, it says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thought, to the exalting itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When those thoughts start coming in, when the devil is pushing and bearing down to you, cast them away. See, absolutely not. God has said, I'm loved. God does love me, and he sent his son for me. Don't let him steal your fire. The devil attempts to, devil is a thief, and he will attempt to steal your joy, and he will attempt to steal your excitement, and he's also a murderer. He's a killer of your time. You know, the biggest thing that probably slows down the church and the Christian today is the time sucks, the time killers. The smooth screens that we place in our hands, the smooth screens that we place in two hands, iPads, iPhones, gigapet, whatever, watch things, TVs. I'm guilty. I've been in my house, I'm well guilty. All of those things placed before you to shoot flashing lights at you. And it's not even the fact that you sit there with the flashing lights. It's what it does to you when you walk away from the flashing lights and you look for more flashing lights. The attraction to, I need movement. Something has to happen. If nothing's happening, I'm bored and I'm losing my focus. I told the teenagers this morning I was sorry. It wasn't even my generation, but I am sorry. We have trained kids to not have an attention span. We've trained them to not be able to sit down and read a book. Not to be able to learn. He is constantly trying to take the time that we have to serve the Lord and make it of none effect. I hear Pastor James say this, and it always rings in my head. The time that I spent walking away from the Lord in my life was time wasted. So much time wasted. The time that you sin till the time that you confess that sin and forsake that sin, you're wasting time. The Bible says that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. There is nothing you can do in yourself that is worthy of God, that is worthy of the rewards of God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And oh, the days are easily identifiable as being evil. There is so much work to do. It's a blessing to see all these young people in here. It's a blessing to see all these people in here on Sunday night. But I'm sure that we could fit another 70 plus. Redeeming the time. Making best use of the time that the Lord has placed before us. He will steal our time if we allow him to. And I think the worst thing about that is the blood that ends up on our hands by not using the time that he's given us wisely. Ezekiel chapter 3, Ezekiel talks about being a watchman and looking out. And he gives us this verse in chapter 3, verse 18. It says, When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked for his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. So many different spheres of influence in this room. So many people that you know that I don't know. So many people you will meet that I'll never meet. And so many people that God has placed in your path in order for you to encourage them unto the Lord. How many of them are you missing? How many of them do you care about? How many of them do I care about? He'll kill our time. He will seek to make us ineffective. The verse says in John chapter 10, it says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And if you stop right there, it sounds like we're lost. But the second part of that verse is where the joy comes. Because I am come, saith the Lord Jesus Christ. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The Lord Jesus Christ came, and he came to bring you life. A life that's eternal. A life never ending. I think of this song, "The Light of the World is Jesus." It says, the whole world was lost in darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Real life begins when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, there's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that you can do to gain heaven. There's nothing you can do to help all of those around you, save the Lord Jesus Christ and sharing the goodness that he has showed you in his word. We see that he brought an eternal life, a life never ending, and he also brought an abundant life. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. My head is held high, knowing that I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, knowing that he has died for me, knowing that he has saved me, and that in this life, I can do things for him. I can share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can see others saved and turn to him. I can do things that are bound to my account in heaven. I can be a crown chucker, as my buddy Barry Daniels says. I cannot waste my life because of that abundant life that he's brought to me. The devil would have you believe that there is no hope. There is no joy. You should have no excitement. You should live this life of brokenness and shame. You should allow his pressing and waiting against you to stop you from serving the Lord. But the life that Jesus Christ has brought to us is a life of abundance with the Lord. A life full of joy. A life full of the fire that tells this lost and dying world how much they need the Lord Jesus Christ, just like I do. What the Lord Jesus Christ did for us gives us all the confidence that we need to be able to tell the devil no, and I work for the King of Kings. Do not allow the devil to steal your joy. Don't allow him to steal your excitement. Don't allow him to kill your time. Redeem that time and use it as a child of God should. Father, you have been so good to us. You have provided us a way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. You have provided us a surety of our salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't make it subjective. You didn't make it change from one person to another, but you've provided a consistent way through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you. Lord, in this world the devil works, and he seeks to stop us from doing what you've called us to do. But you've already overcome him. His sentence is already written. Oh God, help us that we might live a life serving you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.